Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I love the idea of having a lottery tournament where teams are competing for draft picks, basically.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I would really watch that.
It would be more watched than whatever round of the playoffs it was going up against, as long as it wasn't the finals. I mean, like, let's say you got a boring Eastern and Western Conference final, but you've got Memphis versus New Orleans.
No, you're not including Phoenix in this.
You're missing the team here.
Okay.
LeBron James Lakers going up against whoever.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, Devin Booker's sons for the rights to
Devin
Zion.
Devin Booker has sons already? I know. Sorry.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards hadn't forced the NBA on us yet tonight. It was a 3-hour show, so we had to get it in somewhere.
The joke gets better the more I hear it.
You know who actually just had a child? Ricky Rubio.
Really?
Went into dad mode today. Crushed it tonight.
Whoa.
There's your son's update. 720 number. That's what you wanted, right? Wow, I literally just opened my Google Doc again for the first time in a minute and just saw all the Chiefs audio that we have. We should probably play any of that.
Nah.
Also, Beards, we're not going to play it yet. But will you explain the sad fans that you made? You know what? Actually, hold on.
Don't. I say don't explain it.
I do want you to explain it. No, you go first. Go ahead, Beards.
Do you want me to explain my sadness?
I want you to explain everything about it, and then I would like to tack on one addendum to the end of it.
In January of 2013, we got
Beards was 6
this
years
is
old.
Like, you know the episode of The Office where Toby's like explaining the Crane Strangler story? He's like, you know, I should start from the beginning. But I think I need to go back farther.
Yes.
I need to paint the whole
picture
here.
Beers needs to go back farther.
So January of 2013.
I'm going to use this opportunity to take a sweet swig of cold water.
We got a video game trailer. That was fantastic. Cyberpunk 2077.
A boy with a beard was born.
And after that, there was no news or anything for about 6 years. They then had 5 years. They then made a Twitter account that their only tweet was the word beep. About a year after they made it.
Which is now what all their fans keep saying into the radio bleep, microphones.
Bleep, we then, the next year, got our first trailer since then. And then, a few months later...
It took six years just to render the trailer.
The release date came out. It was April of 2020. Everybody was excited. Keanu Reeves was in the game. It's
your girlfriend
beautiful.
Pre-ordered it for
she
you.
She pre-ordered
for
it for me
Christmas.
For my birthday.
For your
birthday.
About that.
Or for Christmas, I mean.
All right, I was right. Why then, do I know what your girlfriend got you for Christmas better than you do?
Well, that's a different
And
story.
Then, today, it got delayed. It got pushed back.
How far? From April to what? April to May?
September.
Oh, no!
Dark day.
Yeah.
I
so
would
this,
argue it's actually a very good day.
This day. Game... Whenever Beards brought up Cyberpunk 2077 last, whenever he brought up that his girlfriend had pre-ordered it for him for Christmas... Every single time I said, Beards, that game was getting pushed back. Beards, that game has been in production since 1997. The first game ever was Pong, and the next was Cyberpunk 2077, just been in production since then. Beards is going to get pushed back. It's going to come out in the year...
He said no.
2069.
He said it won't.
Zagged on him there. It's going to come out in 2077.
Nice.
And Beards said, "Oh, it's happening. It's happening. It's good." I said, "Beards, is it going to actually be good? Do we have any evidence this game is going to be good? It's just old at this point. It's been in production for a very long time. Is there any chance this game is? I don't know. Either too much or missed its window." Beards said, "No. It's going to be perfect. Going to be the game of the year. Going to come out on time. Everything here is perfect in every way."
And his first false statement was obviously that it's Cyberpunk 2077. In theory, because we don't know if it's coming out in the same year now, was coming out in the same year as Animal Crossing, which was clearly going to be game of the year.
Yeah, this is already Animal Crossing 2020.
Yeah,
like, this is clearly 2020 is clearly the year of Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Cyberpunk maybe game of the year in 2024, maybe.
For just another trailer comes out in 2024, yeah. You have it?
Keanu Reeves appears one more time. Like, hey, guys, I'm in the game! Like, yeah, Keanu, we know.
They trot him out at E3 again, just to remind everyone, hey, this game's still on its way.
And I'm in it.
Has CD Projekt Red made a video game yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do they make?
Cyberpunk 2077.
Do they exist just for Cyberpunk?
No, they made The Witcher.
Okay, I thought that was another thing that they did. I honestly couldn't remember.
Yeah.
This is the first non-Witcher thing that they're making.
That's right. Okay. I knew it was a small
studio.
You could
say this is their first real
game. It'll be their first good game.
Yeah.
If it ever comes out. Beards, I can't remember how you feel about The Witcher.
You're going to be on the 12th generation of Pokemon by the time this game comes out.
Henry Cavill will be too old to play the Witcher in the Netflix series by the time Cyberpunk 2077 comes out.
Thanks for being supportive of my dark time, you guys.
All right. So all of that leads up to this. Now we've spent too much time. We need to just play sad fans at the top of the hour. It's fine.
Yeah.
All of that, though, is to this point. That news happens. Also, while on the same day that the Adventure Zone Balance Peacock animated TV show is announced.
Like, I honestly never thought that this would honestly happen, and it's just the greatest.
I thought it might happen for, like, Verve or whatever, and
yeah,
it would be canceled after one
like,
season.
We might
Peacock
see, like,
get it, like, two or three
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah, I thought we might see, like, Rooster Teeth, something like that.
Yeah.
Just
but
some,
this
like, something.
This is NBC.
Yes. This is cable money.
This is network money.
Network money. That's what I meant.
And,
cable's HBO.
But that would still be nice.
And NBC's network. So, I know things.
That's fine. Either one would have been great for those good McElroy boys. We talked about that. That happened today.
Oh, are they good?
What was that?
And I said, oh, are they good?
Oh, they're so good.
So good.
I thought you said they're not that good. No, I was about to grab you by the
goodest.
By the three collars you're wearing right now and throw you out of here.
Yeah, the
Rudy's
triple boys.
Collared right now.
They're the goodest of boys.
That happens, and then so I tagged Beards when I saw the announcement was made by CD Projekt Red that this video game from the past and the future is still not for the present. And he was like, "Oh, we were making fun of him about it." He said, "I should make a sad Cyberpunk fans on Reddit,"
which I thought was a joke.
And yeah, Rudy, I think Rudy Pope was like, "Oh, ha ha,
this is a joke.
Ha ha, fun joke, Beards, fun joke." And then I got in after being at Arrowhead today, and Beard was like, all right, so I did, so Cyberpunk, sad Cyberpunk fans is like 3 minutes. I went, what? Beards has never turned around a sad fans. I don't even know if he's ever turned around the same day before.
It's usually
maybe?
Always, he's like, I'll have it done Tuesday.
Yeah, it's like a multi-day process.
Well, because we would always have the first show on Tuesday.
Beards, like a week or two ago, we had a show on Monday. We even
convenient
and Josh asked you about
excuse.
This, and you said you'd have it ready on Tuesday.
But for sad Cyberpunk fans, Beards just needed a friend
boom.
So badly because Rudy and I were not going to be that
nope.
for him.
Nope.
So here, yes, completely outside of sports, but in the structure.
It's after dark. It's fine.
That's true. Within the structure that we all know and love of sad fans on Reddit, here is sad Cyberpunk 77 fans on Reddit before we get to audio about Steve Spagnuolo stopping Derrick Henry.
And now, a list of things that Cyberpunk 2077 fans said on Reddit after we learned that the game got delayed from April to September.
This is the first sad phase where Beards has actually been sad.
A moment of silence for everyone who had booked days off for nothing in April in anticipation for this game.
Did you do that, Beards?
Not yet. Went from a 3-month wait to an 8-month wait. Damn, that's rough. My boss. Why do you have to move your vacation from April to September? Me. Reasons! The game was set to release on my birthday.
Oh.
It's the only present I wanted. Sad face emoji. My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined. No! Sad face emoji. Alright, I can wait. I can wait. I can wait. Life is pain I hate. Comments. Time to die. Reply. actually, this means I have to survive longer. I never thought I'd say this, but my life. My second child is due in September. Oh. Wake me up when September ends. Well, now there's even a higher chance of getting hit by a bus or something before we get to play this game. I'll be one angry spirit if that happens. No, I asked for vacation already. I want to die. Well, there goes all my motivation. Looks like I'm going to fail my first semester at university.
Oh.
Great, what am I supposed to do now? Play one of the billion games in my backlog or something? Is this some kind of off-season April Fool's joke? Wonder if they're going to delay it further and further until fall of 2076, and then the sequel of Cyberpunk 2078 with slightly updated rosters. Duke Nukem Forever, the Cyberpunk. Oh, man. Anybody need a hug? I need a hug. Man, I haven't felt this kind of delay of pain since Half-Life 2 back in 2003. Sad face emoji. Oh, God, guys, I'm having flashbacks to No Man's Sky.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Now, the loser.
What?
Of things that Cyberpunk 2077 fans said on Reddit.
What?
Well, more time to spend in Animal Crossing.
Yeah!
And the now, winner! The runner-up of things that Cyberpunk 2077 fans said on Reddit.
Clearly said loser.
Comment. Put me back in cryo. Reply. This announcement is making me cryo. And now, the winner of things that Cyberpunk 2077 fans said on Reddit.
Animal Crossing 2020!
As much as it sucks, but I'd rather wait a few months longer and have a game at Witcher 3 levels of greatness than a game that feels like it could have been better with a bit more time for polishing.
You want Animal Crossing.
I have one question that I just, like, a genuine logistical question that I think Beard's something you can answer. The guy that said that this means now he's going to fail his first semester of college. Is he like 12? And he's just like 6 years from now when this game actually comes out, it's going to really...
It's actually Beard's great, great, great grandson.
He doesn't even exist yet?
Nope.
It seems like a lot of people are very excited for this game that doesn't exist, huh? That's pretty crazy.
The prophecies say.
I mean, really. At this point, you're like, so what are you into? Oh, I like sports and music. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I have an idea about a game.
It'll never happen, but...
I have a game idea that I love. I'm on a subreddit about it.
There's a text that just came in. It says, Beard, slap these idiots for talking smack on The Witcher. Also remember The Witcher 3 got delayed twice and is great.
Yeah. The difference is that The Witcher 3 eventually did come out.
Yep.
Our Chiefs coverage is brought to you by Polzinelli Law Firm, headquartered in Kansas City and recognized as one of the top law firms in the nation for excellent client service and client relationships. Business has its challenges. You need the team to bring you the real answers. The Polzinelli Law Firm.
Can I suggest Cyber Project or Red CD Project? Maybe hit them up. Seems like you need some business help.
That's a great point.
Seems like you need some business
help. CD Projekt Red is going to need to try to, like, they're going to have to defend all the pre-order money they already took. They should go to Polzinelli Law Firm.
100%.
That's a great point, Rudy.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm out here providing them with Michael Porter Jr. news. Well, now a new client.
Don't test me. I've got a ton of Chiefs audio. Here's the thing. The good news is that we have a show tomorrow. And also, Saturday, our pregame coverage starts at 7 with your boy sitting in this chair. And I will get through a bunch of audio. We need to take a second and talk about baseball. Because baseball, like, needs our help. Baseball needs some milk. Baseball... I remember that vine so vaguely. I just someone gets like punched in the face and someone yells, "He needs some milk." I don't remember anything else about that vine. But baseball is like dissolving right now. 10% of the league's managers got fired this week. There's a fake cousin. There's Carlos Beltran's fake niece.
Yeah, niece.
Carlos Beltran's not real niece is starting huge Twitter reports, and then like Trevor Bauer is agreeing with Carlos Beltran's fake niece.
Tommy Pham tweeted out a picture with the circle.
And like maybe just a buzzer?
Maybe? Something.
Maybe a buzzer under the jersey of Jose Altuve, who on that one walk-off was holding his jersey shut.
Like, so tight. Like, don't
and yelling
touch
literally
it.
And saying, don't tear off my jersey.
And then ran to the locker room.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. That's a weird one. The car. So, there's obviously the whole, like, sign-stealing scandal going on. And at the beginning of that, my general reaction was, who bleeping cares? Like, it was sign stealing, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, sure. That's, I mean, people, everyone, guys on second base have been doing this for eternity, and it seems like it'd be really hard to do in a way that could actually be that beneficial to a
They've
hitter.
They've been doing this almost as long as CD Projekt Red has been making Cyberpunk.
Since, like, 1902.
Yep.
And they're going to be doing it until Cyberpunk 2077 does
honestly,
come out, or they get to 2077.
They might stop cheating before Cyberpunk 2077 comes out.
Seems fair.
I think I'd take that money.
But so you get the update of like, oh, the technology aspect of this is kind of bleeped, mm-hmm. where it's also like a distinct advantage for the home team, and it's not one of those baked in. You're not going to be able to get me to care about steroids. Like, I just think that's probably gone for me.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Everybody, like, every team had some steroid guys. Like, and all, like, and I know that that's not a great logic in terms of morality or whatever.
Baseball knew what was going on. They didn't care. Here's the thing. Nobody cared until it was reported.
So I put on the mask. Oh, yeah, you're right. That was it. I was doing a different thing.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And so, again, for me, that's not me making, like, a grand moral point. Is
you
whoever was cheating,
care when it happened. You really don't care now.
But from a competitive point, Barry Bonds started taking steroids because Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were taking steroids, and Barry Bonds knew he was a better baseball player, mm-hmm. so he took steroids and was better on steroids than they were on steroids. 100%. And that's, it's, whatever. That's the era of baseball that I grew up watching and honestly loving. And
it was a blast.
Clemens had a needle hanging out of his neck while he was pitching to those guys. Like, whatever.
Andy Pettit.
Andy Pettit.
Andy Pettit was just walking around. You know those IV, like when you're in a hospital.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
IV bag,
like,
but it was just HGA. Just...
yes. Pure God-fearing Andy Pettit was like, yeah, I did it. Bleep you guys. Yeah, of course I did it. And also, again, like.
Kurt Schilling was out there with just pure grit and blood.
Yeah, and racism. His three superpowers. Kurt Schilling's three things. Grit, hard work, and just unabashed racism. General bigotry. We need to expand that even wider.
You know, did you know that he was he owned a gaming company at one time?
I did.
You know who probably could have got Cyberpunk 2077 out?
But every character would have been a straight white man.
Yep.
Kurt Schilling, Cyberpunk 2077.
It all comes around.
It really does. There are no journalists in Cyberpunk 2077.
Nope. It's all fake news.
that's really funny. That's good. Good work by us. But yeah, it's like from a competitive standpoint, none of that really bothers me. And the sign stealing thing, my early understandings of this were all kind of in a similar vein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you got like the audio of they're using cameras and they've got a screen in the dugout and even like that's pretty sketchy, whatever. But then you hear the audio of like the banging the trash can or whatever,
yeah.
And you go, oh, you know what? That happens early
Super
enough.
Super discreet.
What?
Super discreet. You
Super
guys.
Discreet. Just. No one's ever gonna know. That for me moved the needle a little bit and go, you know, that is clearly an advantage, and not every team is doing that at their home stadium. No. It's not a home field advantage.
Royals clearly weren't.
Billy Hamilton could have been standing in that batter's box in Matrix
I don't
speed.
Think it mattered. Billy Hamilton knew a pitcher was coming.
The pitcher could have just gone, fastball, low and outside.
Batting practice.
It's like the scene in Space Jam where Michael Jordan's playing baseball, and the catcher is like, man, I really want your autograph for my kid or whatever. He's like, hey, this next one's going to be, you know, curveball or whatever. Don't swing.
I have not seen Space Jam in an extremely long time.
I forgot I totally forgot about the baseball scene in the movie.
Like, I literally can't remember. Yeah. I don't know if I've seen
Space
Jam since I was like 10.
I remember it now, but I totally forgot about that being in the movie at all.
When did Space Jam come out?
Someone Google this. About 15 years after the production of Cyberpunk 2077?
Is someone else in this building and yelling right now?
Is it just the ghost of Cyberpunk 2077?
I definitely heard loud noises.
I did too.
Probably Darren?
Oh, you're right.
Oh,
Darren's
it's
here.
Thursday.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
The ship is on after us.
1996.
I forgot it's Thursday.
Okay, so
okay,
yeah, I mean,
my bad.
That
so
doesn't really impact
was,
when I
was
6.
It was 20 years before, you know, after the
you're
start
right, Darren,
of Cyberpunk 2077.
Darren's here, and the
Darren's
ship
here.
Is on next on Sports Radio 810.
It is Thursday. Wow.
What a week. Where was this going? Oh, yeah.
Same
to wouldn't
be,
matter for Billy Hamilton.
Game.
That was it.
Billy Hamilton couldn't hit a slow pitch softball.
Chris Owings could have had a beach ball thrown like a power up in backyard baseball. Wouldn't have mattered. So once you get like the whole video aspect and everything, and again, like clearly one team is doing it way more egregiously than everyone else seems to be. That's a significant problem, and I get it. And they ultimately the GM and manager get the year suspension for the Astros. They both get fired or part
Which
ways or whatever.
That did blow my mind. Like the owner saying, like, because again, like Major League Baseball is like, hey, if you pretty basically said if you want to keep these guys, that's fine. They're going to be out of you. And the owner's just like, nah, I'm good.
I'm gonna say this while not remembering the GM's name.
Jeff Luhnow.
Having the guy who is in many ways the architect of like this rebuild and everything, kicking him out, every manager in baseball, I feel like, could pretty much be replaced in 45 minutes. Yeah. And that's an oversimplification, but whatever.
Baseball is a sport where the manager has the least impact. It's not that a good manager doesn't affect the team positively or a bad manager can't destroy a good team.
Sure.
But it's just it's the least, in general. It's the least impact on a day-to-day basis. Playing 162 games, you can mostly throw. Like, I could go manage the Astros in 2017, and they're going to win a lot of games.
For sure, because they were cheating.
Yes. And I would condone it.
And absolutely.
Unlike A.J. Hinch, I wouldn't have smashed those screens.
That I was just about to say. So the other thing is, like, Hinch was, like, smashing the screens. Baseball doesn't care. Here's the thing. The message baseball is sending there is saying, if you see your team cheating, report it, or we're going to bleep you up. And also, baseball has, like, a killer players union, so suspending players for this is going to be very hard. But all of that happens, and we didn't even talk about this yesterday. You know, it's pretty interesting. But then we are now three managers down because the Reds,
10%,
the Reds, the Red
10%
Sox,
of the managers,
the Red Sox. Did they mutually part ways?
Yeah, they mutually parted ways.
But like, it felt like the Astros straight up fired AJ Hinch.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and the GM whose name I've already forgotten again,
Jeff Luhnow. Astros straight up fired. Red Sox, Alex Cordon knew it was coming, and so they agreed to just part
That's
ways
right.
now.
And
just
the Mets and Beltran were like, yeah, we got to go, right?
Yeah, like that whole situation is still, that's the weirdest
one. Well, because so he was a player on those
teams.
And,
like, the Mets never even, like, commented on it. It was just all of a sudden, it was silence for the longest time. Then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, Beltran's gone.
Yeah.
Never lost a game in Mets history, so kudos.
I was going to make that joke, actually. Yeah, he's maybe the most successful manager in Mets history.
I would argue he was.
But so all of that happened.
He certainly
so,
embarrassed the team the least.
Definitely. Involved in a scandal before he got there? Come on. I did do the mental exercise that I will legitimately not even attempt to do on the radio of how many Major League Baseball managers could I name, because I bet it would be embarrassingly low as even someone who would consider themselves a casual baseball
Can
fan,
you name three?
Much less a radio show host. Definitely not. Not anymore. I could have. All three of the managers I knew are fired now.
That's a good point, because I was
Joe
saying,
Torre.
I was saying three because we just had named three, but you are right. They are
they're no longer managers. I could probably name more managers from the 90s and early 2000s. I could probably name more previous managers than current ones. Like, just
That's
give me
fair.
Go
I,
out
I,
of the.
I think I could. I think I'm the same though.
Grab the quintessential random MLB team right now. Mm-hmm. Go out of the AL Central. Go. Don't go Midwest.
San Diego Padres.
I mean, not for $1 million. Eric Hosmer.
His name is. It's either Tinkle or Trinkle.
It's but awesome.
He is a native of, like, he grew up near Kansas City. That's the only reason why I know this. Like,
Jace Tingler. So
Tingler.
Close. So close.
I was close.
There's a manager named Jace.
And he's from, he's like a localish kid. Or not a kid anymore. He's a man.
If you're named Jace, man, you're always kind
you're
of
kind
a kid.
Of always
Jace
a kid.
Is a
Jace Tingler.
Jace is a super
Jace
baseball
Tingler
kid
is
name.
Kind of always a kid.
Absolutely, and super baseball. If there's ever a if there's ever an NFL head coach named Jace,
and it's,
you can tase me.
Jace spelled J A Y C E.
Oh yeah, no, that's
from Smithville, Missouri.
The spelling and everything. Super baseball kid.
Yeah, this kid was just he was born to play baseball.
100%. So that all notwithstanding, I don't really like. There's a bunch of stuff that Hinch, Cora, or Beltran could have done that would not have raised my eyebrows. But all of them getting canned basically within a few days is pretty interesting. And then today, the absurdity goes to a level where I'm just like, we can just recklessly speculate about like, yeah, that Twitter account was apparently not Carlos Beltran's niece, but the Carlos Beltran's niece Twitter account said like something about the Astros having buzzers under their jersey. It wasn't all the Astros.
It was Altuve and...
Oh, man. Was it Bregman?
Bregman was the first thing that popped in my mind, but I also like didn't want to be like...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, this is all, we are under the umbrella right now of literally quoting a Twitter account that is absolutely a fake person.
that is not actually a thing.
We're quoting a baseball
Bregman.
Bot.
Astros. I like this on NewJersey.com. MLB rumors. Astros, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman wore devices that buzzed.
You call them buzzers?
Those rumors were...
But here's the thing. So those rumors got a lot of extra steam from this fake, not Carlos Beltran's niece Twitter account. Which should now be the new name of the Twitter handle, to be honest. But then, like you said, Trevor Bauer said he had heard the same thing.
Yeah.
Someone who quote tweeted said they had heard it from several different people who would not have known each other.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Pham
mentioned it.
Quote tweeted it with like a picture and circling what he believes to be the device.
That's right. So they're like these guys have. This has been a thing in the MLB. In fairness, also Manfred said that they'd looked into that or something. I think they used the phrase like "band-aid buzzers." I saw on Twitter at one point, and said that they didn't find it. And all of that is fine and dandy and whatever. But can we just for a second play the game of a baseball team who have buzzers under their jerseys to tell them what pitch is coming? That is so good cheating. That is such good cheating. If you're going to cheat.
They went above and beyond.
Absolutely. Just install auto swing. Like, just go ahead and give yourself an exoskeleton that looks like a baseball jersey that just swings automatically or does it. I mean, just really a superb cheating strategy.
Remember when Nick Yost got in trouble just for wearing his Apple Watch in the dugout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Like, they had Apple Watches just attached to their entire bodies, just everywhere.
Yeah.
Just sending text messages. Like, okay, when you get two text messages really quickly back, this means it's a fastball.
That might have worked because when I was doing the very beginning of the first segment tonight, you guys were texting each other in our group text, and for the first time with my Apple Watch, I got like six texts in like 14 seconds, and it was so distracting.
Yeah.
But I knew that it was a fastball. I counted the pulses; it was an even number. Fastball outside. I just think it's fun. And ridiculous. And also, like, there was a handful of people again at Arrowhead today during AFC Championship Week in Kansas City that were casually talking about baseball. I know this isn't good for baseball. I understand in that
but
mindset,
like,
whatever.
Like,
but we're talking about
maybe
baseball.
It's kind of good for baseball.
You tell me what else could have happened that would have us talking about baseball in January. Other than, like, a literal crime from, like, a star. Unless Altuve would have committed a crime. We're not talking about baseball in January. Are you kidding me?
It's Josh Reddick, and he's got a Band-Aid on after a game.
This definitely could just be... You know what? It wouldn't be him being mic'd up for Fox Sports because he's holding a handheld mic. He's also dressed as Goku, which is why you can see the buzzer taped to his skin.
Which is a great, great, great costume.
Again, is it good for baseball? Probably not. But also, they're firing everyone they can related to it, so they'll get out of it fine.
Like, it might not be bad.
Right? I don't know. I don't know that it's bad. Again, it's. Here's the thing: is I imagine that someone listening right now is going, "Of course it's bad for. Of course it's bad for baseball.
Sanctity of the game.
It's
blah, blah,
yes,
blah,
they were cheating.
Blah, blah, blah.
But like from here on out, I think it's good to find a good. Because they're gonna super punish everybody they can find related to all of this, And then they're going to all get kicked out, and they're going to be super wary of this from now on. And there's a legitimately interesting baseball. What would it take for us to be talking about baseball the Thursday before the Chiefs are in the AFC Championship game instead of playing audio from Andy Reid and Dave Tobe and Eric Bieniemy and Steve Spagnuolo right now?
Somebody just tweeted Evan Daniel and then a Baseball America guy retweeted it, and it's the tweet is just the Houston Astros hitters to the home plate umpire before they're at bat next season, and it's just a picture of Dwight whenever Michael asks him if he's wearing a wire, and he just like
he
starts taking up his clothes. And then the tweet right above that, Cyberpunk 2077 delayed until September. And this is true.
Wow, back-to-back tweets. Yeah, that's legit. That's very true. Oh, what's that? It's Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves died killing Henry Cavill. Oh, my God. They're
fast.
Both gone. Oh, rest in peace. Gone too soon.
But that Dwight, that office tweet, really good.
Very good. At GrittyBeard13 tweeted at Beard and said, I support you in these troubled times and suddenly hate everyone else on the show right now. Listen, man, I think it's cool. There's a whole community of people that are all, like, super excited about something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I support you guys. I just find it funny.
That you're so excited for a video game that could currently fit on, like, a floppy disk from the year that it originally entered development, because that's still all they have.
There's a floppy disk out there somewhere with this game on it. It's this game and Oregon Trail.
And it's 512 megabytes because it's just a picture. It's just a picture of it's just a picture of Keanu Reeves like taped to the front of the floppy disk. It's like, oh, guys, we're going to have to kick it back a little while longer. Keep pre-ordering. And then the CEO of CD Projekt Red will flee to another country. With all your pre-order money.
Is this just another Bernie Madoff thing?
It really is.
Bernie Madoff owns Cyberpunk 2077.
I just Googled it. That's true. I just Googled it with my 2077
beards.
Technology. And honestly, if there are any children listening right now, hold on. If there are any children listening right now, or parents of children, go ahead and turn us down for like literally 10 seconds after I count down from 5. I'm giving you all the time in the world if you have like a small... It's not going to be inappropriate.
No.
It's going to be about... It's going to be a little thing that they might not know yet. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Beards's entire existence right now just found out Santa Claus isn't real. Santa is real, and Cyberpunk 2077 is never coming out.
What's coming first? The actual technology that's portrayed in Cyberpunk 2077 or Cyberpunk 2077?
Or Santa's sleigh? Trick question, none of them.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What do you guys want to talk about?
I want to hear your New Year's resolution.
I'm good with whatever you're doing.
Because I like where you're going with this first one.
It was fine. And then you had to complain about my music.
I would say
why?
I would say
all I ever do this. This is all I do this for you, Josh.
With Joshua Briscoe.
It would have been funny if you would have put the Facebook camera on you for that whole scene that you just had there.
I wanted to see the anguish in your face.
Hey.
Here it is.
New Year, same beards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So we've talked about Cyberpunk 2077, how sad it makes beer. We've talked about baseball. Here's Tyreek Hill on Beating Man coverage. Beards? That's unfair. Don't play it. Now he's going to play it passive-aggressively. I got to call him out.
Question.
Yeah.
What comes out first, this audio or Cyberpunk 2077?
This audio, like, you could walk in and hit the button for. There's no button that Beards could hit that could make Cyberpunk 2077 exist.
Nowhere jokes.
That's not true. Let's do this.
Cyberpunk 2077, which is obviously not.
Tomorrow, we're going to do a lot of like serious football stuff. Could you get me Spags on Swagger? That's one of the audio clips from today.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear this. I saw about it.
We got like 10 minutes of actual show left here. We're not going to be able to break down analytically.
Let's break down some Swagger.
Anything else? I gave you the Derrick Henry analytics in the first hour. And we had Seth in the second. So if you're looking for more Chiefs, we've done it. It's there. And there's a lot of it, and it was very good tonight.
The monologue was Josh straight cooking.
It's just out here, just like, straight fire emoji.
I know Spagnuolo doesn't understand swagger, but there was swagger there. He would have understood that.
Let's see if we understand Steve Spagnuolo. He was asked about the defense playing with swagger and how he would define that.
I don't know if I got a definition for that. I just got my own. I don't even know what a swagger is, to be honest with you. But they have it. He has it. You know, most of them do. Look, to me, it's a confidence thing, right? I mean, you can't play this game or be successful in this particular game unless you're a confident player. You got to believe in yourself, right? You got to be secure in yourself. And I don't know if that's his definition, but that's what I can see.
I hope Steve Spagnuolo coaches in Kansas City for the rest of time.
Yeah. He has changed me so much because I used to think coach lingo was mostly just crap.
Yeah.
And now he's made me believe that coaches truly, I don't think, ever know what day, time. Like, I think it really is
just
like
live in a cave.
They are literally, they're not day to day. They're minute to minute.
Yes.
They're second to second.
Same.
Like, I used to never believe that, and now Steve Spagnuolo's convinced me. I think this all might be true.
I told you earlier the Chiefs-Titans game is currently playing on the TV in front of me from Week 10. Frank Clark just got a sack. The Chiefs are up 32-27 with a minute 55 left. He just got a sack, I believe, on 3rd and 10. How did they lose this football game?
How?
Anyway.
Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo, he probably totally forgot that those two teams even played.
I love, and it's just the way he talks about everything is always so
great.
Excellent. Like, here, Beards, let's also go Spags on giving some freedom to Tyrann Mathieu to, like, improv. We might even play this again tomorrow so I can actually talk about what I think is interesting from a football perspective here. But just, like, I just think this is genuinely how Steve Spagnuolo communicates.
Well, there's a little bit of it coordinated. We have calls, but... listen, I give him free rein because he feels the game. There are some things, you know, it's the typical. There are some things during the game. It's like, what is he doing? Oh, great job. You know, because he's not doing exactly the way you drew it up. And yet he has a feel and a keen instinct. And look, you got to let these guys play. He is an instinctive player. I'd never want to pull that away from him. So we let him go.
I mean, it's just wonderful.
Oh,
good job.
Oh.
Beards, I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that just at your leisure.
Good job.
What is he doing?
Oh,
great job.
It's just... I think that was a question for Mellinger about that video we talked about a little bit last night.
Mm-hmm.
Of him
running.
He's just running
place.
A triangle. Just a huge freaking triangle on the field. Where it doesn't... He can't possibly... be schemed to be in all three of those places.
The plan can't be like, hey, on this play, you're going to run 10 yards in that full sprint in that direction, then we want you to take a hard right, and then
right.
come back a little bit, and then we want you to go back 20 yards.
Yeah, it just...
Like, that's not how plays are designed.
I know that there is a lot. I almost hesitate to, like, to take away credit from Spagnuolo, because I do think that there is a tremendous mm-hmm. amount of versatility and a tremendous amount of even, like, flexibility in this defense. Every once in a while, talking to Seth, like, he'll talk about how he can't really – and imagine this is from a defensive coach's perspective. He can't really – or an offensive coach's perspective. He can't really go back to tape from earlier in the season because the defense looks too different. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a place to be. Like, if you gave me a trait to have for a defensive coordinator, having, like, coverages that are literally, you could look at those coverages and see a different coordinator running them. And, but it's actually just Spagnuolo getting more versatile and more flexible.
And it's huge kudos to him to also, like, you know, we can sit here and say, like, oh, players deserve credit for being players, but also, like, for a coach to at times just understand that. Just taking a step back and not doing anything and letting great players go make plays. Letting Tyrann Mathieu go be Tyrann Mathieu. Like, there are a lot of coaches out here there who won't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is
Bob
that
Sutton
is,
super
yeah,
hella
like,
didn't
that is
do
a
that.
Legitimate skill that has benefited the team. Sometimes, like, yeah, you can be like, well, I didn't do anything. I just let the guy go make a play. No, but you did something. Like, that's what you did. You let your playmaker go make a play.
Yep.
Like, I feel like they did that quite a bit against the, like, going back to the Texans game where it felt like a handful of times they would have four pass rushers. And I'm saying pass rushers in quotes.
Yes.
Because like three of the guys were just there to contain, and it seemed like they just told Frank Clark, hey, on this play, just make a play. You don't worry about containment. We have guys containing.
Yep.
Your job is just go make a play. We're not going to tell you what to do. We don't care. Just go make a play.
Yeah, and we touched on that a little bit with Seth also. Like the idea of literally seeing contain. Mm-hmm. And then Frank Clark is just the wolf running free in the everyone else
he
is the
doesn't have
of the
to
sheep
worry
pen.
About oh I've got it I've got to stay wide here I can't go too deep I can't cut it. No it's just go
and the rest of that play is like
go create plays.
Reggie Ragland and like Tano Passanio and somebody else mm-hmm. are like trying to hold the edges. Dorian O'Daniel is just scooting around with Deshaun Watson, and then Clark's trying to get to him before Watson can find an open receiver, and the receiver and the coverages were really good in that game. That is creative. That is unconventional, I guess would be the word. And the other thing about like letting guys make plays while also putting them in great positions, and also the amount of versatility in that playbook. All of those things I just said are all super easily attributable to Andy Reid. Those are all traits that have made him such a force for 20 years. Because you don't come up with an idea and you don't come
and
up with an idea
work.
In 2005 and then still have it working in 2020. Mm-hmm. It's why Cyberpunk 2077 is never going to come out.
I was waiting for it.
I don't know how many times I've ever given Rudy a full hand.
Just like, stop.
Rudy, stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. Don't say anything here. I'm lining this one up. I'm lining up this putt, and tink.
Tiger Woods, turn your back before you've even made it.
Fist pump. All that analysis was true, but it also was a little bit of a setup. We're going to take a break. One more segment left. The Ship with Aaron Smith follows us after this. Whenever we come back, though, we have a few more things to get to, and also Cyberpunk's going to get delayed by another month.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I hate some of you.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
On the NFL Network replay of Chiefs-Titans from Week 10, they just botched the field goal. With a minute and 21 seconds left, I had to relive the roll right Blake Bell play, and then Dustin Colquitt got knocked over by a snap, and he was so confused and mad at James Winchester.
He definitely looked like Beards has been looking at us for the last commercial break.
Last hour.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I know that liner was your voice,
but it
sure sounded like Beards to me.
Yes. Very much so.
By the way, I just had an idea. Tomorrow, tomorrow, do you want to bring out the sad fans from the Texans-Titans game? Or Titans-Chiefs game? So we can revisit how sad Chiefs fans were? And see
so Beers
how
just
this
wants
age.
Us all to be sad since it's video games.
I don't know, it's just an idea
you,
that popped in my head.
Okay, all right. You just said it so succinctly, Beards. Like, Tannehill just ran for 20 bleeping yards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you want to bring back sad Chiefs. I like that. Friday to send you into the end of the week. The sad Chiefs fans from the Titans lost. Is what you're saying?
What date was that? Do you remember?
No, Week 10. Oh man, this game sucks.
Sometime before Cyberpunk 2077.
I hate watching this.
Are you talking about Cyberpunk 2077?
I'm talking about Chiefs Titans in Tennessee. Ugh. Oh, it's the worst. Well, Beards, while you're already here, you want to talk about HBO not getting a second season of Watchmen?
I mean, we can. That's fine.
Like,
This doesn't make Beards sad, but it's just another thing. But it's not. But I think Beards is fine.
Damon Lindelof is basically saying he's probably not coming back,
which means don't ruin the series.
Yeah,
just let it be a standalone.
I was shocked after 8 episodes to learn that the 9th episode, or even in the 9th episode, to find out that that series could be wrapped in 9 episodes. Like, honestly, by the way that the first 8 episodes went, I thought it had to be a multi-season show. Mm-hmm. And they wrapped it up in a really satisfying way, which in an episode that I think was a complete achievement. And I'm like, it makes me a little sad because the show was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of happy because, honestly, I will rewatch the show at some point in all likelihood. And Touchdown Titans. I'll rewatch the show at some point and not worry about what comes next. Because for it to justify a second season, because they wrapped it up so well, it would have to be like a big. There'd have to be another big idea.
There
to
is,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there is stuff that they haven't that they could probably go to.
Oh,
like,
sure.
They talk there at the end that one of the guys.
Spoilers.
No, because it's not.
Don't spoil it. Lots of people, I'm sure, haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Now, listen, Rudy, Beard, you and I can
agree. It's something from the graphic novel.
We don't really care, Rudy.
But I don't ruin the graphic novel.
There are lots of things they
could
go to.
I might get to it.
There are lots of things they
can
do.
There's nothing they can do.
And the way that the whole show is for, honestly.
But if you don't have the people who working on it who made the first season so
correct.
Great, do you really want new people coming in and messing with the potentials, you know, what's the word I want? The
potential, well said.
Yeah, what Josh said.
What I would say, Beards, on that, on, to that, well, really kind of to Rudy's point, which we're all getting at, there are plenty of Watchmen-like stories they could tell. But I think the most important, here's the thing. The story that they told in this one season mm-hmm. was good. The story wasn't the most unique, like, life-changing story in the history of television. It was told unbelievably well.
It sounds like it was told about as good as that story could possibly have been told.
To me, it really was. Beard, is that fair? It wasn't like... I mean, the story
yeah,
had
probably.
Some wild moments.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that they did something so unique that you've never heard before. It's just they just did it better than anybody else has done it.
And so the people that told the story are not going to do it anymore. I'm less concerned about what the story would be. I'm more concerned about how they would tell it. Mm-hmm. They told it perfectly. And if they want to do another one at some point, we can watch it at some point.
Another HBO thing. Go watch Westworld. Season 3 is coming soon.
I'll watch it whenever you're playing Cyberpunk.
So never.
When you said it's coming soon, Beards, when's it coming?
March.
Move it back 5 months. Beards is legitimately pissed. Rudy is legitimately so tickled. And I'm just worried that all three of us are going to fight in the hallway immediately after this. Thanks again to Polsinelli Law Firm for presenting all the Chiefs coverage that came in the first 2 hours of today's show and then also this third hour. The Ship with Darren Smith is next here on Sports Radio 810. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.